Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A terrible mistake. That's how the head of a popular baby clothing brand described her decision to not accommodate a new mother's request to work remotely while her newborn baby was in intensive care. Kite Baby CEO Ying Lu apologized publicly to her former employee Marissa Hughes twice after families called for a boycott of the company. Here's Lu in a video posted on TikTok earlier this month.
I was insensitive, selfish, and was only focused on the fact that her job was had always been done on site, and I did not see the possibility of doing it remotely. However, having a little bit of sensitivity, understanding, and flexibility would have accommodated her, but I did not accommodate her.
Lu also said she had a change of heart to let Hughes work remotely while she cares for her baby boy that she adopted in December. Hughes told Today.com she has no plans to return to that company. The story's become a flashpoint over a systemic issue for caregivers that goes beyond one company, a lack of paid leave. Dawn Hucklebridge joins me now to help me connect the dots. She's the founding director of the nonprofit Paid Leave for All. She's here in the studio. Dawn, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
So in the case of Kite Baby, they didn't do anything illegal, but the situation has upset parents that felt connected to this brand. Tell us what your reaction has been.
You're correct. They did not do anything illegal. But I think, as we can tell from the reaction nationwide, they did something most people consider egregious. But what's important about this is it's often been framed as bad optics for a bad actor, when in fact, they are not an outlier. And as it stands now, in the wealthiest country in the world, only 1 in 4 working people has paid family leave at all through their jobs.
And that might surprise some people, and maybe not, but I want you to lay out for us where we are in the US when it comes to paid family leave, because I imagine that 1 in 4 is coming from an employer.
Exactly. Yep, that is from the employer. So as it stands right now, we are one of only 7 countries in the world that guarantees no form of federal paid leave for its workers. And in fact, nearly half of the workforce does not even have the guarantee of unpaid leave through FMLA. So this has been a crisis for decades, to be honest.
FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act. So what are you actively advocating for now in terms of paid leave on the federal level, Dawn?
We are advocating for a comprehensive paid family and medical leave law. We are an outlier. As we said, this is not just about bad employers. This is about failing American families by our government. So we are fighting. There has been some historic momentum. We came really close to getting it passed in 2021 via the Build Back Better Act and framework. We're just within a vote or two of making that the law of the land. So we are hoping that this is still within reach. That's what we're fighting for, because as it stands right now, we are not meeting the demands of a 21st century economy or our families.
Who is opposed to this, Dawn? Where is the pushback coming from?
It's a great question, because I often say I would love to see the politician who looks you in the eye and says they are against a parent being home with their newborn baby, or the worker who should be fired after a horrible injury. So this is wildly popular. We know this from polling across the country. But I think it's, you know, a few different systemic issues about partisanship, disagreement over the role of government and government spending, and also, I would say, some just deeply embedded sexism and racism in our system as well.
I mean, there is a move, and some of those 1 in 4 employers that you mentioned actually provide parental leave, so that's regardless of the gender of the caregiver. But I'm wondering if you feel like there is political momentum right now to make paid leave actually happen. You mentioned you came close with Build Back Better. But there are so many competing priorities right now. It's also a time when we see Congress not wanting to approve a budget. How do you make this a priority?
I think it's about continuing to build political power, political will, which I think we are doing. We're on the road to. We've seen the first ever bipartisan working group on paid leave in Congress, actually, just launched last year, along with a dad's caucus committed to getting it done. We've seen more and more champions pop up in Congress. I actually think I have yet to read it. I saw it on my walkover. There is a new bill introduced today that I've yet to go through. But there is absolutely momentum. And I think this is about continuing to build the political will until it's the law of the land.
And I imagine there's an economic case for this as well. Make that really quickly.
Absolutely. We know for employers, this improves productivity, performance, profitability. But more so, I would say, if we pass paid leave in this country, along with other care policies, we know from research that it would yield millions of jobs, billions in wages, and trillions in GDP. So there is really nothing to lose. In fact, we lose a lot by the cost of inaction.
And Dawn, you're a mother, you're a millennial with aging parents. How would paid leave have helped you in the past, or how are you thinking about it in your future?
I think about it like many of my peers across this country, that there is going to be a crush when we are still caring for children. We will increasingly be caring for parents and family members. And right now, there are no policies in place to support us. And it's going to be a growing crisis, particularly as baby boomers age, if we don't have any federal intervention.
Dawn Hucklebridge, founding director of the nonprofit Paid Leave for All. Dawn, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.